Welcome back to episode 231. 231. Joe, how are you doing?
I'm just fine, Tim. How are you?
Very well, thank you. So this week, well, let's before we get to the major topic, I thought this was this week was the observation or commemoration of the 1 year anniversary of 1/6, the insurrection that almost brought down the U.S. government. The Democrats who controlled Congress, they had testimonies from congressional members they're on the scene. They trotted out a panel of famous historians to give their perspective, I guess, compared to the Civil War and Black Plague and the 30 Years' War or whatever. They actually had a Broadway performer sing a song or something. I think she's one of the actresses from Hamilton, the mostly black cast of Hamilton, the Broadway play. They had candlelight ceremonies, a prayer ceremony. They kneeled, they bowed, they laughed, they cried. They did everything. They did everything for a show. I think Jen Psaki, the White House spokes lady, talked about the historical significance of the event. Nancy Pelosi intoned about the essential need to preserve the narrative. She actually used that, preserving the narrative. So that was interesting. It's all about narratives, isn't it? Other speeches. I think Kamala Harris compared it to Pearl Harbor and 9/11. Now that's interesting comparison, but I don't think it's the comparison that she was making.
very analogous to 9/11, I'll have to say.
In ways that maybe I don't think the that she intended. Yes, of course. Joe Biden came out, mumbled a speech, criticizing Donald Trump and castigating everyone who voted for him. Of course, they called this an insurrection, for which no one has been charged with insurrection. That's a specific crime, actually. I think right now it's like obstructing a public event and trespass, which most protests do to some extent or another. I guess not all protesters are equal. It's clear that what this was a protest that got a little out of hand, and they went with it, the narrative. It's absurd to say that some of this was an attempted insurrection. It really was a protest, expressing the misgivings or the dissatisfaction that millions of people had with how the 2020 presidential election was conducted. I think Glenn Greenwald had a good summation on this. I'll just read that, and I'll let you say a few things about it. This is what he posted, that the January 6th riot was some sort of serious attempted insurrection or coup was laughable from the start and has become even more preposterous with the passage of time and the emergence of more facts. The United States is the most armed, militarized, and powerful regime in the history of humanity. The idea that 1,000 or so Trump supporters, largely composed of Gen X and boomers who had been locked in their homes during a pandemic, three of whom were so physically infirm they dropped dead from the stress, posed anything approaching a serious threat to overthrow the federal government of the United States of America is such a self-evidently ludicrous assertion that any healthy political culture would instantly expel someone suggesting it with a straight face. So I think that's a pretty good
solution. Yeah, no, that's very accurate. If you go back to the shows that we did before 1/6, we talked about over and over again the possibility that mm-hmm. this was a setup, that this was being staged as a theatrical production, and that the purpose for it would be to create propaganda against a white male in European culture, right? I mean, that's the broad stroke.
That's right, because they did rope in like white supremacists.
Oh yeah,
it became like a neo-Nazi rally or something.
that was how the first press yes. reports came out, and I suggested that they were trying to provoke an actual some kind of violent event. Mm-hmm. I think if you look at the ambiguity that Trump was kind of having this tit and tat with the QAnon people, mm-hmm. many of whom were claiming they were in secret communications with him, and that the vice president was going to be the last straw, and they would overturn the fraudulent election, and that they needed the public there as a physical presence. And I we talked about how that this could easily be turned into a violent event by agent provocateurs.
No, Joe, update. The new QAnon date is
what?
January 20th, 2022, where Trump will be installed, returned to power on the one-year anniversary of Joe Biden's inauguration.
Wow, Nostradamus lives. you know, it's sad that there are people who take the QAnon, you know, meme seriously. But the fact is that the 1/6 propaganda machine was set into motion on 1/7. It never provided any kind of realistic coverage of the event. It was simply to create the idea, the mass psychotic idea, that there had been an actual attempt to overthrow the government.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so all of the people involved were props. There were actors who knew the storyline, what it meant. And then there were unsuspecting victims, you know, the Trump people who were then let in and even assisted in by the Capitol Police. I mean, there are videos of this. And then, of course, the agent provocateurs, the one who they staged the fake shooting, you know, they come out with blood on their hands. And, you know, so this was a very crude theatrical propaganda event.
And also, there are people who are languishing in prison in solitary confinement for almost a year now for the offense of trespass.
Yeah, exactly. And so they're being set up as, I mean, the way the propaganda is structured, the intent of the theater is to show, particularly white males, that you can't have any a strong emotions against the activity of the Bolsheviks that control the government presently.
Yeah, contrast that to the reaction of the regime, of the media, if you will, to the previous summer's events, the peaceful protests that did $2 billion worth of damage and resulted in at least 30 deaths and resulted in a huge spike in the homicide rate.
That was at least a true insurrection. I mean, this legally fit the definition of it. I mean, the idea that, you know, Bison Man and, you know, the crazy lady with the backpack who tried to come in through the window, that this was an insurrection. This is just preposterous. So anyway, the gravitas that it's receiving now is just part of this propaganda meme, which is to give this lesson to Europeans and specifically European males that, no, I'm sorry, the election was stolen. It's obvious that we manipulated the data, and you're being brought to the capital to have an insurrection. That just leads to incarceration. There is absolutely nowhere to turn. At the last moment, Pence will fold on you. Trump will give in, and then you're going to be exposed as being completely impotent and put in prison. And so now you have these poor devils who've been incarcerated.
Yes. I
mean, you can imagine, you know, what they thought they were getting involved with. You know, the patriotic furor that the QAnon memes were whipping up, and people thought that they could actually make a difference somehow, preserving democracy by being there. And holy cow, look what happens. You know, they just are not only put in prison, but there is no support for them among the political class. I mean, Trump isn't there demanding their release. You don't hear anything about him at all, except that reported incarceration goes on, you know? So the 1/6 meme is ludicrous as history, but it's very powerful as propaganda. And I think you're going to see tolerance museum set up eventually over, you know, the 1/6 slaughter that the white males perpetrated. I mean, I think that they're just going to continue this as a propaganda meme, and we have to be aware of it as such, you know. And obviously the poor devils that are still grasping at straws with the QAnon stuff are not helping matters, because we need to move into a more clear, a political posture that is based on reality and not on fantasies that are being given to us by lifetime actors like Donald Trump.
Well, we live in a clown world, postmodern clown world, where the facts, reality, and truth don't exist. The New York Times, I read, was celebrating the first woman Jeopardy contestant to win over $1 million. The problem is, she is really a he.
Oh my God. Tim, before you start, we started recording, you mentioned this to me. And I mean, you don't know whether to laugh or cry. You know, it's like they have this, this other.
It's amusing, but also very serious, I think. Yeah.
It's very serious. It's very serious propaganda. I mean, this is the thing, we laugh at it. We should, and it is laughable. But, it is, as history, it is laughable. As propaganda, it's very powerful. They have a deranged transgender woman swimmer.
Yes.
Who's breaking all of the world's records. And she came, or he, excuse me, came out of the pool. Yes. And he said, well, I had an off day, but I still set the world record. No, I'm serious. That was his quote. Yeah.
Was this the one where the crowd refused to recognize his victory?
And a lot of the women on the real women are leaving the team because they're saying, look, no matter what we do, we can't train and end up in any kind of parody with this guy. So
again,
these things are laughable. It is a clown world, but it is a clown world.
Well, when I say that in this world there's no facts, reality, or truth. Well, it does exist, of course, but basically what they say is that we're empowered to create our own reality, our own truth, and our own facts. Of course, the reality is the common folk, we don't have that power to confect our own facts, reality, or truth. We must submit to the truth as prescribed by the oligarchs. So in clown world, the truth is merely the opinion of the powerful. So it's not as if we're all free, because basically once you do away with objective reality, once you do away with the concept that 2 plus 2 must equal 4, and it can equal 5 if the party says so. And this is essentially what they're doing. You've entered the clown world, but that's where the truth is no longer truth. It's merely the opinion of the powerful. It's the oligarchs who control these narratives that Nancy Pelosi was referring to. So that's funny. It's funny because, it's kind of like, do you think like that he pretending to be she was set up to win just for the propaganda value of it? Be like, oh, that's a conspiracy theory. It's like, well, it's not as if, game shows don't have a history of being fixed, right? I mean,
I'm willing to bet right? $1 million.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. But I mean, it's like, I would take if I had to answer the question for $1 million, I would say this is a 100% setup.
Yeah.
I mean, of course, look, I mean, how many of these people are out there anyway? It's not as though there's like 100,000 of them. So they have to find exactly the right one. And then, of course, they want to make this individual a hero. So there you go. They feed him the questions that he's been given the answer to, and there he is. And they seduce him, probably, if I have to conjecture, with the idea that, look, you're winning. Of course, we're giving you fake questions, but it is good for culture for you to ascend like this. And so let's just all go along. And we'll give you $1 million to boot.
Yeah, I mean, there's a movie made back in the 90s called. I think it was a quiz show about the show 21. It's a pretty good movie, good period piece of America in the late 1950s. And basically they set this guy up to win. I think his name was Van Doren, who was an academic, who was a son of a scion of a renowned academic family. And he became very popular. And he might've won initially. Then they found that he was more popular than the other guy. I think it was a Jewish guy from Brooklyn or something. And they convinced him to lose, step down. They give him some TV, job in TV or something, which he never got. So he kind of blew the whistle on the whole thing. There's a big congressional investigation, all this thing about this corrupt game show and all this stuff. And it's kind of at the end of the show, the movie, and I do recommend the movie, it's a very good movie. The narrator goes, at the end of the day, we were just selling Geritol, who was hurt by it, right? People liked the show. They're entertained by it. We got money. They sold product, and life went on. What was the big scandal? Because basically it's just a show. And of course, the bottom line is, and the show kind of talked about this, why, and this is the bigger question, is why should people assume what they're watching on television is true or reality when it's just a production? And that goes across the board, right? Across everything they watch on the Magic Box.
Literally, you can just take that individual's perspective of, mm-hmm. we can't be blamed. I mean, there's no, sin here, there's really just either a trivial or a good purpose, you know, getting geritol in people's hands that we're really trying to support. But the fact is that when you shatter reality mm-hmm. like that, there is really a very, very serious cost. And, and we are paying it now because, Tim, there is a direct line from the perspective of that individual, the defender of the fakery, to the group that created the iPhone and yes. created the internet. And we're doing so with the idea of having this mass communication that could be controlled by very few people in ways that the victim would not understand, right? Just like the people watching the game show thinking they were actually seeing somebody, who knew all these arcane facts. So this is ultimately, it comes down to these devices and this propaganda thrust is all used as a weapon. Mm-hmm. And we don't ever get to talk about the weapon, and the consequence, the psychological consequence, which I think now, as the vaccine mandates are being rolled out, and at the same time, the lethality of the transvection, as is correctly called, because it really isn't a vaccine, that the lethality can't really even be discussed because they've created all these intimidation memes and powers inside the media. And of course they have their crew in control of all of the actual news that is getting out, so that you just don't see the lethality. You have to go to the independent media, which thank heavens now exists, but is fighting a desperate battle to get information to the public so they can stop taking this thing, which I will say we are holding the line pretty well. The data I'm getting is that, no country really has more than 80% vaccinated, and the 20% and up, because I think a lot of the data is fake, and a lot of countries, I think there's more than 30%, are absolutely determined to not take it. And of course, they are in contact with the independent media. They know the truth. They know the data that is coming out about, long-term effects of this stuff, of the transvection. So they're going to fight. Hopefully the information the independent media will give them will put the backbone there so that the fighting will be full-blooded and coming out of life and death self-defense.
Well, the Supreme Court is debating the Biden mandates. I think yesterday they heard arguments and it's being debated, and there's reporting from it is that the mandates don't seem they seem to be in jeopardy. The court, the majority seems to be, might rule against them. Nevertheless, they have, some of the justices have betrayed or exposed their ignorance, or at least their misunderstanding of things. There's a Judge Sotomayor compared human beings with viruses to a machine spitting out sparks or something. I guess this is like her way of trying to justify OSHA using it as a safety regulation. And she said something, there are 100,000 kids right now in the hospital because
for completely insane. I mean, this is a Supreme Court justice. This is a Supreme Court justice. Yes. The fact is there's fewer than 4,000 children, and the vast majority of them came into the hospital for other reasons. They just tested positive once they got in there and they became a COVID person inside a hospital. So, a Supreme Court justice to roll out that information. I mean, there should be an investigation as to who is supplying her with facts, because that round number didn't just roll out of her mind spontaneously. There was something, that produced this fear.
Well, she just probably watches MSNBC. She probably just watches MSNBC. Probably,
that she should have. That's right.
They did a poll. Remember last year, they said that majority of Democrats believe like more than 40% of people with COVID are in the hospital, when it's less than like a fraction of 1%. So that's that misperception of reality. Yeah.
It's just it's an incredible mass psychosis and shows that power, to control large swaths of the population.
Well, they said, damn the facts, man. Powerful. Damn the facts. Don't you know we're in the middle of a raging pandemic?
Yeah.
Well, by the way, how do you know we're in the middle of something that apparently has no end? So I don't.
or you wouldn't know existed if the media didn't tell it existed. You know, I mean, so I'm going to make a prediction about the Supreme Court. You know how I like to make predictions. I'm never right typically, but I will make one here. I think they're going to negate the OSHA mandate, but permit healthcare. And I mean, this would be a completely insane decision. I mean, outside of, you know, any kind of rational grounds. But the reason that's exactly why they think they're going to do that, because they will create the impression of neutrality with such a decision. And they will also, I think, focus on the medical situation. In other words, if they do mandate healthcare workers, and this really rolls out hard, I'm just going to talk about a memo that circulated here in California from the Orange County Hospital System, which is a private system and a large one, many hospitals in it. And the CEO said that, well, first, 57% of the people in our hospitals with COVID have been vaccinated. Okay. And then he alluded to the problem with mandates, which is that they couldn't staff their hospitals. It has not been vaccinated to date, and that their internal data indicates are stubborn about it, leave, or are told they can't work. So I think that that's actually beneficial to the oligarchs at this point, because, I mean, obviously COVID is just becoming less and less possible to scare people. You know, it's been, I think they're kind of at the end of their, theatrical production here. And so I hope that mandate go forward, that you'll have a real deterioration in the hospital system. And of course, the Supreme Court can then say, well, look how neutral we are. We banned the mandate here and permitted it there, you know, because, so that's what I think will happen. I hope it won't. I hope they will simply negate the mandates, because they are preposterous, particularly now when the disease is, even as they describe it, is, it's so well known as being, pretty impotent, as a plague.
Well, Biden back in September or August, didn't he say that if you take the jab, you won't get COVID? And that obviously isn't the case, right? Because most of the people who are in the hospital with COVID have been jabbed.
I told you that too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, basically, again, this is so, the thing about the reality of the oligarchs is that it only has a time life of about 79 minutes. Yeah. Anything that happened the day before is irrelevant. I mean, it just isn't on the table. I mean, there are videos of Fauci saying, if you get the vaccine, I can't do his voice. You can do his voice. But if you get the vaccine, the COVID cannot get you, and you cannot spread it because you have the vaccine, and it stops it.
Yeah.
It stops it. Well, okay. Now, he's supposed to be the czar of all this.
But that was reality. That was reality. Love. Yeah, that was reality back in July. So.
Well, yeah. But I mean, the fact is, to be so wrong.
Yeah.
How is it even possible to be that wrong? But again, the statement is, when you view it as history, it's a clown world. But you have to view it as propaganda. It was at the time designed to get as many victims as possible to take the jab.
Yeah. So it was effective. Now, regardless of how the court rules on this, like I said, I've always said, the justice system, law is a subset of politics, and it's not the final say, really. Because here's an example. There's a mandate on the books in California, or in Los Angeles, Unified School District, the country's largest public school district, was planning to implement a sweeping vaccine mandate for young students, but was forced to U-turn after some 30,000 children did not comply with the decree. So they've delayed it. They've postponed it, because people aren't complying. So that's how you, just like the same way that the airline pilots didn't comply, workers, so you just simply don't comply with it. They can have the mandate, but if you don't comply with it, the mandate goes away.
And it's really important to not comply, obviously. Yeah. There's so many reasons. I mean, one, you don't want to take the jab because it'll kill you or render your immune system compromised. But also, by not complying, you become part of the political resistance against the oligarchic control. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's really that simple. All you have to do if you want to rebel is not comply. And then that becomes a power. And as you said, the people who haven't complied, the groups have so far have had great success, great success, because these industries simply can't work if you don't have, airlines can't work without pilots. So if a large fraction leaves, and then you have some power. And moreover, in Los Angeles, I live near Los Angeles, and I have lots of people I'm in communication with who live there. And they say that the underlying reality that really brought the school district back to the bargaining table, so to speak, in terms of mandates, is the fact that the homeschooling movement is exploding. And there was actually some very large organizational kind of thrust. Some Latino groups were saying, okay, we're done. And they were organizing to have an en masse kind of homeschooling. There are, of course, there's all kinds of people that went out of that thing. But this is an example of, if you don't comply, and if you have a plan and try to create the other reality, you have two benefits. One, you don't, destroy your children's immune systems. Mm-hmm. But moreover, by creating the alternative, you are stepping out of control of the oligarchs. They are literally a paper tiger that depends upon our compliance. Mm-hmm. The world we live in, Tim, as I'm sure you know, is a victim of mass psychosis. We just obey because we're used to obeying and because the media tells us it's the right thing to do. When the parents in Los Angeles say enough is enough, we're going to go outside and create our own homeschooling system, they win two ways, right? They win, as I said, with the saving their kids' bodies, but they're also creating exactly what we have to create. The homeschooling movement that's going on is the most, it is the most important and the most revolutionary act that Americans are taking right now.
Yeah, well, these are parallel structures that how you deal with the coming collapse or reordering. Because one or another, there are great resets occurring. Does it may not be the reset that the oligarchs want, hopefully?
Well, it's good. The reset is coming because they've trashed the economy, they've trashed the food, they've trashed our bodies. So we are at the precipice. The question is what survives after the fact. Mm-hmm. It isn't now, in my opinion, whether or not you're going to have the turmoil. It's coming. But are we organized enough that we will be the surviving entity at the end of all this? I use the term the purification, because the less and less we interact with the victims and the more that we interact with people like ourselves that are trying to organize and plan, the better chances we have of having power in the coming new world order. Mm-hmm. So
there was interesting development this week with our friend Dr. Tony Fauci. Apparently he's dropping a term. He wants to abandon the term fully vaccinated. We are using the terminology now, keeping your vaccinations up to date rather than fully vaccinated.
So, well, that rolls right off the tongue.
So up to date. Are you up to date? So basically what they're admitting is that they put you on an injection treadmill.
Sure.
Right? It never ending. It's,
How do you? And of course, the thing is a weapon. And it's not designed. Think about, Tim, I ask you, if you're going to design a bioweapon to take the population down 90%, it's not something you can ask everyone to take just at the same time. It would be impossible. There would be too many people would find out if the thing really worked quickly. So what you have here is a genetic modification that has long-term disastrous effects. Okay, so and to perhaps to fulfill this, you have to get more than one transvection into the individual, right? I mean, this would be how you would do it. So the people should be very suspicious of what was supposed to be. Remember, going back to the Fauci's historical reality, he was talking about there was no way the vaccines wouldn't last long enough to create herd immunity. That was like last July when he was trying to get everyone vaccinated. He was saying that the vaccines would last almost indefinitely, long enough so herd immunity was a reality. In other words, forever. Well, now the schedules are, some of the countries are rolling out these 6 booster shot schedules, right? They're actually admitting that this is what we anticipate, 6 boosters. They have very, very good science now to show that every one that you take compounds and damages further the body. So the, you know, to get people to not take the boosters is absolutely critical. And hopefully we will find when the reality of the, and we'll talk about some of the data of that, that supports this idea, that when the reality of the lethality of the transvection is widely understood, they will, the those who that are have been damaged and are irreparably damaged will become really aggressive fighters in the rebellion against the oligarchs. I mean, that's that I think is almost certain, and it's something that the independent media really has to concentrate on. We have to take that fraction that is soon to be aware that they put some, that the oligarchs put something in their body for to damage it, so that, that we can start to transition that group, that cohort, into, you know, political action.
There was a shocking report this week. It shows a 40% increase in all-cause deaths among working age people. This is in Indiana. The head of the Indianapolis-based insurance company announced last week that the death rate among working age people in the that state had gone up by a whopping 40% from the pre-pandemic levels. This, of course, provides further evidence that the vaccine mandates are doing more harm than good. We're seeing right now the highest death rates we have seen in the history of this business, said One America CEO Scott Davison during a virtual news conference on December 30th. The data is consistent across every player in that business. Now, One America is a $100 billion insurance company that has its headquarters in Indianapolis. It's been there since 1877. The company has approximately 2,500 employees, sells life insurance, including group life insurance, to employers in the state. Davidson said the increase in the deaths represent a huge, huge numbers, and that it's not elderly people who are dying, but primarily working age people, 18 to 64. Of years of age, who are the employees of companies that have group life insurance plans through One America. And we're not just we just in the third quarter, we're seeing it continue into the fourth quarter. It's that death rates are up 40% over what they were in pre-pandemic levels, they said. So this is suggests what we said might occur. Davis also said the claims for deaths being filed are not being classified as COVID-19 deaths. What the data is showing is to us is that the deaths that are being reported as COVID deaths greatly understate the actual death losses among working age people from the pandemic. It may not all be COVID in their death certificate, but deaths are a huge, are just huge, huge numbers. The CEO went on to say that the company is also seeing uptick in disability claims as the first mainly short-term disability claims, and then an increase in long-term disability claims. So One America expects costs to go up, I guess premiums to go up because of this increase. It's significant. At the same time, his company mandates the vaccines. So
just beyond belief. I thought that was probably the most important data point that we've received since the pandemic began, was invented. The key phrase in his statement was, all of the players are seeing this. I mean, what he was saying is that this increase in death rate in young humans, you know, 18 to 45, was occurring across all of these independent insurance companies in America, mm-hmm. right? This is why his statement is so powerful, so important to understand. He said, you know, the other companies haven't brought out this data. They will, of course, they'll have to eventually have to report this, the losses to their shareholders. But they've, I think, been afraid or intimidated into doing it. He brought out this fact at a meeting. He just said, here it is. This is what we're dealing with. And he said, all of the players in the industry are seeing this. Okay. Now, how unusual is this? He actually provided some, some analysis of it was done. This is a 5 to 10 sigma event. Now, you're not probably into card playing and probabilities, but what that is something that is so impossibly unlikely that it is five sigmas from the ordinary. Now, Tim, that is like the moon hitting the earth tomorrow morning. I mean, this is just impossible to have no causality. This is not, you know, there is some reason for this. He just absolutely went sideways when he was trying to explain what was in back of this, right? He did not come out with any clear statement about it. However, there is nothing other than the transvection that it could be. Nothing, right? We know for a fact that COVID is not killing people in this age bracket, mm-hmm. right? This is a fact. So there are other causes for the death. You can have alcoholism, depression, you know, there are different mm-hmm. things that can go on. Those causes can be calculated based on just ordinary history, you know, of like, well, we went up 40%. Those would not even move the needle to like a one sigma event of increased mortality. To do something of this magnitude, a 40% increase in death, there's only one thing in the world, and anyone tells you otherwise is absolutely lying. They don't know what they're talking about. There's only one thing it can be, and that's the transvection. So we talked like last March about, well, when would you know for sure that the apocalypse, the genocide that the oligarchs are you know, perpetuating upon us was underway? It would be when the death rate increased more than the rate of the transvection. In other words, that you were into an after effect situation. It wasn't just the toxicity of the thing, you know, when they gave the jab in the first place. And because a lot of people just die right on the spot. But now you're into the long-term effects. That's what you're looking at there. And this is just absolutely critical for the Americans, for Europeans. Anyone who is not vaccinated, for God's sakes, needs to spread this fact. I mean, the data is out there now, and there's many, many websites. I mean, a lot of people covered the thing up when it came out, but they should be demanding, in fact, if they have any stockholder access into another insurance company, because as you said, every player sings. And incidentally, that's 100% guaranteed, because his organization could see this kind of like five sigma result and then have other insurance companies have no kind of impact, you know, in this age bracket. No, it's got to be an absolutely global, you know, phenomena. And so what I would hope is that shareholders, particularly, or anyone who's even have like legal power inside other insurance companies, demand to see the numbers and start getting this out. We should have this news story should repeat itself, and it can repeat itself hundreds of times. Every insurance company can be analyzed now, and we'll be able to see that the genocide is rolling along, and that they are mandating that we take it. So we there is no confusion. When Nancy Pelosi or Joe Biden creates a mandate to take the transvection, the so-called vaccine, and they will not publicly discuss this data in terms of, you know, there has been this amazing increase in all cases of mortality. They are a genocidist. This is genocide. There's nothing else to say about it. So I'm glad that this insurance company president brought the information forward, and it's up to all of us to make sure that it gets out there, because you guaranteed the mainstream media is not going to talk about it.
Yeah, the numbers on this, the actuarials, the insurance companies would expose or betray the lie of the jab, because yep. you'd have this 40% increase, rates going to go up, and ironically, you have people saying that people who don't get the jab should be denied insurance, have their insurance coverage go up, and it's actually the opposite should be the case. But then again, perhaps the powers that be, the people who control the money and all that, the banking system are going to step in, and the same way that they put their thumbs on the scales at the rating agencies back in 2008, they're going to keep the insurance companies from blowing the whistle on this. So you have some honest actuarials trying to say something. Say, shut up. Well, you know, we'll we'll make you whole. We'll give you a few billion here and there to cover the losses. Because that this is where,
and you can see now. You can see now why they didn't go forward with the Harvard Pilgrim study recommendations, because if they had, then they wouldn't be able to hide any of this. You see what I mean?
Yeah.
So that was why, you know, VAERS is a chaotic and impossible to get real hard data out of kind of system. You know, it's just, it's just a whistleblowing. All they'd have to do is unify all the computer systems in the hospitals and medical facilities, and you'd have all the answers right in front of you. Because what you'd have, Tim, my point, sorry to be long, but what you'd have is you could see, well, wait a second, the unvaccinated, their death rate isn't up 40%.
Yeah.
Right. It would be transparent. And they'd go, and that means that, well, the vaccinated, it isn't 40%, it's 80%, because the total number is they're using the total population, when the fact is all of the deaths are occurring inside of the vaccinated, or vast majority inside the vaccinated cohort. So that means their death rate is through the darn roof.
Yeah, and so you have the issue of what they call temporality, where if there's an adverse event, the closer it is to the injection date, the more likely that's the causation. But ironically, they consider that opposite, whereas if you're not fully vaccinated, or your vaccines aren't up to date, the way Fauci would phrase it now, or it's within 2 weeks, they don't consider that an adverse event related to the jab, even though really, if you think of it, the closer it is to the actual, the more likely that it is actually related to the jab.
Of course, but this is how stupid they look. Yeah. So they have the jab, someone's jab. Then he doesn't come back for the booster for a month. Then it's two weeks after that. Anytime he dies of myocarditis in that 6 weeks, that's a death of an unvaccinated person.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Now, this was talked about. Dr. Robert Malone, he was one of the inventors of mRNA, I believe, technology. He was on Steve Bannon's show, and he actually talked about this. And he brought up the issue of, mass formation psychosis or hypnosis. Yeah. You know, and he told Bannon that this guy Davison for the insurance company, is caught in mass formation psychosis because he's still supporting vaccine mandates in the midst of statistics that obviously point to vaccine injuries. He says he is looking at 18 to 64 year old cohort in employed insured populations. So these are the people who are likely to be highly jabbed because they've been under employer mandates. And what you need to do is compare the event rate that he is reporting to the event rate of COVID-19 related deaths in the general population. He explained that the reporter did exactly that and found that the death rate for all COVID deaths in Indiana was significantly lower than the rate of individuals who were insured and through their employers. This suggests that these people who are under insurance mandate are highly jabbed, have an enormously increased mortality rate compared to the general population. So it's indication of that. But it's interesting that he used that as an opportunity to talk about this idea of mass formation psychosis. This is an idea I think originally brought up by Professor Matthias Desmet of the Department of Psychoanalysis and Clinical Consulting at Genet University. Basically, he defines mass. Dr. Desmet defines mass formation psychosis. He goes, in the beginning of the crisis, I'd been studying the statistics and the numbers, and actually. I noticed they're often blatantly wrong. At the same time, people continue to believe in it and to go along with the mainstream narrative. That was why I started to study it rather than from a perspective of mass psychology, because I knew that mass formation has a huge, huge impact on individuals' intelligence and cognitive functioning. I had the feeling that this was the only thing that could explain why highly intelligent people started to believe the narrative and the numbers that were in many respects utterly absurd. This was an interview that he did with Reiner Fulmich, and the Corona Investigative Committee out of Germany. So he related this idea, or Malone did, to Joe Rogan and to Steve Bannon. It's an interesting concept, this idea you've showed this mass psychosis kicking in. when people can no longer even think critically, and they become hostile to anyone pointing the truth to them or shattering, the illusion.
Yeah. I mean, Malone gave a kind of definition. He said that it was, you had the capacity to make a lot of people afraid, mm-hmm. and then you give them a solution to their fear. And now once that's done, it doesn't matter if the solution is fake, if it involves their, having to compromise their morals, or they will adhere to the belief in something that relieves them from this fear that they share as a group. Mm-hmm. Group fear is a very powerful tool, right? And so this is, mass psychosis. And Malone is an interesting guy. I don't trust him at all. He brought out the idea of the cause of the behavior of the people creating the pandemic was they were engaged in a noble lie.
Yeah.
A noble lie. Now, Malone comes from DOD. I mean, he is a complete, CIA doc spook. It doesn't mean that he's necessarily a bad person. I think during the time when he was, doing graduate work, he was involved in legitimate science, obviously. Supposedly, because of the whole mRNA technology. However, I really think that to propose the noble lie as a rationale for something like a worldwide, lapse into tyranny is not a realistic proposal. And I don't believe that Malone is a sincere person when he makes it. The noble lie concept, just to clarify, is the idea that I think it comes from Plato, I believe, that the government has a tool the ability to tell lies to the public if it determines that this is for their own good. Mm-hmm. So what he's saying is with the noble lie concept here is that people like Fauci and Walensky and Biden, that they know this is untrue. They know the truth, but they know that it is noble to lie because to get people to comply will save more people than otherwise would have been survived.
Well, I think what you can say is they think to get to the society that you want, the Great Reset, we have to tell these lies. Same way they say, if you looked at the, there was an admission of this, the British government, they had a committee set up to actually raise fears about the pandemic above and beyond the reality to get people to comply and cooperate. They admit they're doing this, exaggerating the death rate, the risk to get people to comply. And this has been admitted. And yeah. So this is, and the same thing, strategy or, tactics were used with the environmental issues. Same thing, you got to raise fears, exaggerate to get people to comply because it's so darn important. That's the rationalization, obviously yeah. they're, but he did make this point, what I thought was interesting was the four conditions for mass formation psychosis is, and this describes our society, how we're kind of set up for this. There needs to be a lot of socially isolated people or people who experience a lack of social bond. We live a very atomized society, everyone's staring into their iPads, their iPods, or their computer devices, not communicating and these things. Of course, the lockdown itself will prevent people from communicating, talking at church, engaging.
Mask wearing.
Mask wearing. Number two is people who experience lack of sense making, unable to come to a sensible conclusion. Obviously, the media, the streak-o-meter, the media gets everyone scared, contradictory news. That plays into that. Sort of lack of comprehension, unable to make sense of the world. And of course, the media does that because they throw so much at you. Overload. There is a free-floating anxiety, because there is nothing to connect their anxiety to. No focal point. Unable to identify what's causing. And in no way to deal with it. And number four is there's a lot of free-floating psychological discontent. People may experience their daily lives as a lack of any purpose or meaning. Of course, what the COVID thing exposes was sort of this spiritual crisis that's afflicting society in the Western world. And so this I think makes people more susceptible to fear, and also makes them more susceptible to clinging to the pandemic and the response to it is giving people a sense of meaning. That's how you get the Karens and the authoritarians that sort of stuff. So we were kind of set up for this because for decades, who developed technology, media, the internet, like I said, you know, they never could have had the lockdown. They never could have done this 25 years ago because people weren't online. You know, so they couldn't wait it out. They couldn't binge watch at home and Netflix and, you know, order, food delivered, you know, with their Biden bucks that they get, you know.
And they wouldn't be as frightened because they wouldn't get the pandemic update every 10 minutes.
Yeah, the death meter. Yeah. So and that's so he kind of explained how we were kind of all set up for this. Now, a lot of people, you say, how does society go mad? And in many ways, the world has become an insane asylum, these things, because people are listening to the media, which is determined to make them mad. A lot of people make the equation. They say, you know, how did this happen? It happened to Nazi Germany. How did the Germans do this? Well, they kind of didn't, but I don't want to get into
that. Yeah, that's the correct answer. Yeah.
You know, it's like that's sort of a reference point. It's sort of a, I would say at this point, a kind of a worn out comparison. But, you know, obviously the Holocaust as the narrative is a reference point for so many people about tyranny, just like, you know, the mass Nazis, right? Everyone calls the no one ever says mass Kamazars or anything, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the real question is not, how the Germans did it, it's how the Allies did it.
Well, yeah, that's another thing is the point to pick out the Germans as being somehow uniquely barbaric when you think about what the Allies did with the firebombing
How did the Allies like take all of the inhumanity away from their behavior and put it all on top of the German people?
Yeah, exactly.
That had been controlled by this tiny foreign invading political class, the Hitler group, and then now history, then they cast the hatred of the German people based on the mass psychosis. Well, guess what, Tim? The patriotic white male Americans, don't forget about 1/6, buddy, because you'll see over time that's going to morph, that's going to become bigger. Every generation will have it as, a touchstone of your evil, just like the German. They're spreading out the evil that they can accuse, Germanic and European people with 1/6. So, mass psychosis is just a, it's an obvious tool of the oligarchs, and I would say that one of the key elements in it is that they've determined that the opposition needs to be controlled by leading it. You have to lead, the opposition. So you get Alex Jones, and you get the historians after World War II. But in terms of Malone, Malone says, I had long COVID. I have had COVID. I was a COVID victim. I've had the vaccine, double jabbed. So it kind of normalizes it. Mm-hmm. And, I'm afraid that someone like this can take you into a cul-de-sac where you don't go all the way into the climax of the revolutionary behavior. Now, having said that, I think Malone is fantastic. I mean, the information that flows out of his streams and his writings is really great. Great scientific. In fact, I would say I would spend as much, or well, not even as much, but as he would be the second person in the internet that I spend time with trying to understand the biology of the transvection and what's going on in the different problems with the vaccine. The person I spend the most time with is, I mentioned, John Cooey, Geohome Biological. I want to give that a shout out because I just think that's just an amazing resource of instruction, of learning what the immune system is, and it gives people the abilities, very short order, to fend off the sophistry, of the media propagandists. But in terms of Malone, it's one of those things, Tim, where in this world, it's very hard to know what's real. Malone could be, someone who will not transition, from understanding into behavior. He may be a cul-de-sac, but to get to the point where he can control us, he has to give us something. And what he's giving us is fantastic. And then in terms of what he really is, I also want to mention that If he is a lifetime actor, he's a really good one. And I don't really have any, you know, real ways of claiming that in back of what he's doing is evil. I am just worried that we might be dealing with a lifetime actor, concerned about it. But in the meantime, man, everyone should be paying attention to the stuff he's putting out. Well, it's really good stuff.
What he said, unfortunately, with mass formation psychosis, is there's no really way out of it, unless you can get the public's attention to even a greater fear, a greater threat. And he said possibly the greater threat is totalitarianism.
Oh, good.
It's a big fat target. And obviously the jab mandates, the idea that they're putting people, asymptomatic people, in camps, like in Austria, they're banning these things, are locking people down. These are obvious to people, and that's raising people's attention, raising their consciousness to the threat. And he says, now if you can raise their fears about totalitarianism, it will overcome mass psychosis mass formation psychosis regarding COVID-19, the pandemic, and that become even a greater concern that can overwhelm it. And that appears maybe to be happening in some quarters, where there's so much resistance to this, and you have this developing consciousness about, you know, what the agenda is. You get that with the Great Reset. That's on a lot of people's tongues. That's in the lexicon. If you say it now at a cocktail party, people won't think you're nuts. And what they want to do, people like Klaus Schwab, and when he talk about Davos, the Davos set, the World Economic Forum, people will kind of know, at least have a general idea of what that set represents and the threat it represents. And so, and the idea that, you know, Bill Gates now isn't just known as a nerd; he's known as sort of a creepy billionaire Malthusian. And when you talk about Bill Gates, make jokes about whether it's vaccines or his sort of his misanthropic leanings, people kind of know what you're talking about. And so there's a chance there again to use that fear of people losing their liberty, people of totalitarianism, of having their kids poisoned with this thing. There's a chance to create a greater fear, which is legitimate, to overcome the psychosis. At least that's what he's.
And I think that's very useful, and should occur. I hope that Malone isn't trying to be, you know, isn't a controlled opposition leader, will prevent the public from understanding, you know, the real source of this being, Judeo-Masonic, you know, class, this tiny group of political powerhouses that runs the world and creates the pandemics and all these other hysterical things, you know.
Well, that's why they carried out this 1/6 anniversary thing, because we're kind of losing control of the narrative, so they have to keep that going. And right now, I think they get a sense that they're losing complete control of the situation. And so, which is why they have to raise these fears. And that's why you got Omicron, brought out to scare people, try to scare people with, to try to.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting. Omicron is such a weakling as a plague, creator. Even if the thing is real and if the biology is correct.
Yeah.
This thing will peak before the end of January. I mean, they've got pretty good computer models at this point. They're not dealing with Ferguson and Imperial College now. They actually have data, and they go, yeah, this thing will peter out by the end of January. It'll peak, and there's not going to be really much death as a result of it. So then you're back to the claim that the Biden administration was talking about, where this winter would be, bring out your dead moment. And yet the virus didn't deliver really this disaster. So what will happen? I mean, you're having all of these forces that are going to be resisting the Great Reset. Malone looks like he could be one of the leaders of it. It's critical that he has a pure heart and a pure mind, because we don't want to end up in a cul-de-sac where all that this, you know, the suffering that this does is end up with a political system that we are still impotent inside of, and they're still going to be able to go forward with all of these elements to diminish us as humans. They are vaccinating a heck of a lot of people, and you know, once vaccinated, it isn't coming out. So they have done so much damage at this point that even if we stop them in their tracks tomorrow, they might still say, hey, it's victorious, you know, because who's ever left, is there's less of them, and it's gonna be a lot easier to get rid of them. So we're going to need real good and informed leadership to protect ourselves.
Yeah, I mean, there is a chance that the whole pandemic narrative is on its way out, and they'll maybe move on to some other hobgoblin, perhaps environmental. I don't know.
That's been set up certainly. Environmental.
Yeah, and of course they have said that the lockdown is a model for that. We need an environmental lockdown, an eco lockdown. We still have the problem with the disintegrating economy, which will be with us, and nothing can disguise that. So we have to, as individuals, try to manage our lives and also organize collectively so we can get through it. And that, and one thing that's interesting is that Malone did propose local activism, which is important because at the end of the day, you got to maintain. Economy, maintain law and order, so you can get through day to day. That's going to require a local effort because these big systems seem to be in terminal crisis, which is why they've tried to rush us into this great reset.
I agree completely. That's well said. I mean, that is exactly what's happened, Tim, is that they've rushed this whole thing as part of a pell-mell, hysterical roller coaster that has taken away all of our common sense. And with that perspective, we're going to enter into the Great Reset, and will be easy to control because food and energy and money, I mean, all these things will basically be in a whole new format. And they're going to try to control what little is given to us. And the sad thing is as it's being set up, is that people will take, particularly the weaklings, the ones that are getting boosted now and waiting to, desperately get their second and third booster, They will put their hand out for the government largesse, and they'll do exactly what they're told. If they're told to go into the camp, is that where the food is, they'll go. So we're purifying, those that won't go and are willing to fight, we need to organize and let those that want to go into the prison camps march on, because we don't have the energy, the numbers, or the strength and the capacity to turn them around. I mean, it's just, that's just where the world is. It's the saddest thing I can imagine, but that's the honest truth, in my opinion, too.
Yeah, I mean, you said the world. We were headed on what we were, the trajectory we were on wasn't sustainable to begin with. So they sort of forced the crisis, and again, they might have done humanity a favor in the final analysis. Because they could have sleepwalked everyone into oblivion. And
yeah, I think so, because they could, they weren't able to kill. In other words, there's a control group.
Yeah.
If you look at the transvection as an experiment in malevolence and lethality, they wanted to create the smallest control group possible, because one, there'd be no way to know that it was the transvection that brought about the death. They could say if everyone had been vaccinated and then everyone started dying, they could say, well, it's some other force. It's not the vaccine. But if 30% of the population doesn't get vaccinated, none of them are dying or turning into zombies, well, then the control group will be evidence in and of itself, that there was malevolence. So they wanted to get the control group to a very small number, and they haven't been able to. And all of this nonsense in the last 60 days of the, it smacks to me, could be optimistic, but it smacks to me of desperation, that they really do see the control group as too large, and they really don't have any tools left to get at them with. They will try. I wouldn't be a bit surprised if in the months ahead that they actually try to just go door to door, and set up a gulag or something. All of the threats about that have just been that. They've just been propaganda to scare us into taking the transvection. Going forward, it might not be the case. I just think it's a good time to prepare to defend yourself, because they won't be able to pull that stuff off for very long.
Maybe they'll start a war with Russia over Ukraine. I mean, they want to put missiles in Ukraine.
What a distraction. I mean, that would be more of a distraction.
Well, I'm thinking, wait a second. If we're in the middle of a raging pandemic, which justifies the forced injection of experimental gene altering drugs into everybody and the suspension of rights to protest, to assemble and to go to work and all these things. And how is this the time to gin up a war? I mean, how do you fight a war in the middle of a raging pandemic?
Well, I know, particularly over something.
Well, just like my point is, there's no coherence. There's just like, why is it with the pandemic and virus, the threat of the virus, all the terrorists go away?
And the flu with them.
And the flu. Are you telling me suicide? Remember 15 years ago, it was suicidal, you know, homicidal or suicidal terrorists, whatever. You know, they're willing to blow themselves up. There was all the fear. You know, what are the, you know, are you going to tell me that the suicide bombers are afraid of catching the flu?
They should have like a graveyard of terrorist threats. I mean, you have the Islamic terrorist boogeyman. What happened to him? I mean, he hasn't blown anything up like since the pandemic started.
Well, I guess they all died of COVID.
Yeah, AIDS. I mean, this was like a complete dud. The commie, you know, drop and cover nuclear bomb. I mean, they've had one horror story after another to shatter our minds. That's all. They just do it relentlessly. And here you have COVID.
Think maybe it's like those martial arts movies from the 70s where your adversary only comes at you one at a time, you know?
So. Yeah.
So only once.
That's funny. That's right. That's what it's like. It's like a Bruce Lee like fighting scene against 500 guys where every one of them is stupid enough to take him on it, you know, all by himself.
Yeah. So, you know, it's you know, they can only roll out one really major threat at a time because
the public conscious. See, if they roll out a second one, they won't be as afraid. If they land the Martians in Siberia and they want to take over the world at this point, it'll be diluted as a technique to create hysteria because of COVID. People will say, well, I'm more afraid of getting COVID. So I'm not going to, you know, go into my basement to get away from the Martians, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's just, you know, it's all nonsense. It's all the clown world. And it's all becoming more and more apparent every single day. The one American insurance CEO, that to me was just, I just got amazing emails about this. People who I've been arguing with about the existence of a secret society, you know, they just collapsed when they heard. They just, okay, give up. Because there's no way the world makes any real sense, right? There's no way you can put those numbers, that reality, into the idea that what you have here is a noble lie or legitimate stupidity. It just doesn't, those numbers do not make any sense.
It's like, this is the reality hitting you in the face. You can hear all that, they can spin it. You can have fake news stories and all this stuff, fake numbers. But, you know, the 40%, that's like sort of this, you know, actuarial, that's real. Yeah. Or just simply you walk in the grocery store and, you know, the shelves are empty, you know.
That's real.
Yeah. So there you go. So,
yeah.
Okay, Jerry, think we covered it?
Yep. Yeah, we covered it all, buddy. And I hope the audio quality wasn't bad. I'm here in the wilderness, and this is the best Wi-Fi in the mountain. So anyway,
all things considered, it was pretty good. So
good. There you go. Thank you so much. Thank you, Tim. We'll talk next week.
Okay. Be safe. Take care.
Yeah. You too. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.